Chapter 2, we had a great time at our servants' events this last weekend. I took the deacons, trustees, their wives, and got them out of the church, got them to Gull Lake Ministries, had this gymungus condo with a bunch of different rooms, and I got to share my heart, I got to unburden my heart with the leadership of the church, and God did a really great work. I'm really excited. Pastor Josh and I, over the last month or so, we started thinking about everything that makes the church the church. So basically, all the things that have to be done. The church got to be cleaned. You got to have nursery workers. You got to have donuts. Okay, there's a lot to ministry, and we got like one of those like 6 foot tall Jenga towers, right? And just started writing all those responsibilities on the blocks, and you realize there's a lot to do in the church. There's a lot, and God is so good. He sent us some great servants of the church, and so we bought each of them, our deacons, our trustees, a bucket. And we realized all those blocks don't fit in mine and Pastor Josh's bucket. So we started, I just couldn't lift them all. So we went through and gave the deacons, the trustees, and filled them. And I got to tell you, I don't know why I came to church. I feel so unburdened this morning. I don't know what it is. I feel like the weight of the blocks are off. I'm just ready just to serve God's people, love God's people, and preach Jesus to God's people. That's where my focus is, okay? So if the lobby's got a stain in the carpet, tell a trustee, okay? Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, would you stand? We're going to jump in a little bit of a weird place in the Scripture here. We're going to jump in verse 4, and we'll read down just a little bit here. But as we read God's Word, just allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart through His Word. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. In anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Our Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for this past weekend. But Lord, I can see the evidence of it here in the building this morning. Even as Hope saying, Lord, even the church has a different buzz to it this morning. Lord, I can't help but feel that, Lord, there's something you want to do today, you want to accomplish today. So Lord, I just want to be an instrument of what you want to do. Lord, hide me behind the cross, let you have your perfect way. Lord, I want you to challenge each and every Christian to start with my heart first and foremost, Lord. And if Paul hasn't attained now, neither have any of us. So Lord, help us to be looking forward, that we can press forward to the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. If there be any here that's not sure of their eternal resting place, Lord, where will they go when they die? They don't know if their sins are forgiven. They don't know if they're right with you. Then God, I pray today the gospel would work. The Holy Spirit of God would convict and do a job that I can't do this today. And Lord, let somebody get saved. Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. After that handshaking time we just had, I got some Purell out in the lobby, okay? This is flu season. It's that time again. Make sure that you don't touch your mouth. Sorry, we tell our children all the time, don't get anybody's face, don't touch your mouth. And everybody, I appreciate your prayers for my family. We're all back together. We're all recovered again. And everybody said, well, you didn't get it? I said, no, I don't get it. You see, here's the secret. All the good, healthy air is up here, okay? All the sick flu air is down here, okay? So that's why I just kind of walk on my tippy toes a little higher. Lord, keep me. I'm just teasing. I hope I don't get sick for saying that. But anyways, in Philippians, we've been talking about our theme this year has been running forward. We talked to our leadership about that. And I said, you know, it's been a long time. I just celebrated 20 years of ministry here. I've been leading this church for about 8 or 9 years now. And I get tired of falling over the same things over and over again. But, you know, I was told by my previous pastor, he says, you know, the church is like a speedboat. You can't take sharp turns. You got to kind of just nudge it, you know, because if you take too sharp of a turn in a boat, you fly out, right? I don't want you all flying out, okay? And there's just some things that it's just time to deal with. It's just time to move forward. And I believe that God has such a great future for us. I have never been in my life more excited in the future of Oxford Lake Baptist Church than I am than right here and right now. And so we are excited. We're moving forward. And I got into Philippians chapter 3. I believe this is where the Lord would have me to preach this morning. I want to talk about what's the mindset of a forward runner? I studied psychology. If you go in my office, I don't really have any really cool degrees from Bible colleges, but I do have psychology degrees, and I always enjoyed studying psychology. To me, I think people are fascinating. I think you all are fascinating. One of the things I was telling the leadership was, you know, I come in and I'm task-oriented. I want to clean the glass. I want to sweep the front porch. I want to get the bulletins all nice, and I kind of do all those things, and there's always those things to do, but really where my heart needs to be is I want to spend time with you all. I love, ministry is about people. I believe a shepherd needs to smell like sheep. I want to smell like you, huh? How's that preach this morning, right? Yeah? Y'all smell really good too, by the way, okay? So that's where I want to be. No, I'm just teasing. Okay, so anyways, having that mindset there, and I love figuring out, like, you know, like how people think. It's just really been, it's so helpful. And we have to realize there are some good ways to think and bad ways to think. Does that make sense? Right? I mean, so much, the Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you do talk to somebody that's kind of this chronically depressed, you'll find out they think a certain way. And you all know people who are hopeless optimists. They always are looking at the glass as being, and you realize they think differently than most people. I think successful people, they think differently than most people. There's a victim mindset. They think differently than most people. And there are mindsets that will stop us from running forward this year. There are mindsets. There are sometimes we put ourselves in little jail cells just because of the way we think. Well, I'm not good at that. I can't do that. And we can fill in the blanks, and we think, well, I can't memorize scripture. I'm not really good at this. And we kind of just build these little jail cells around us, and here comes the Lord Jesus Christ to set us free in our minds. And again, I don't want to make this a TED talk about, you know, positive thinking moving forward, but I do want to say God's word clearly confronts our faulty thinking. We find this in Scripture. In fact, I mean, we're in Philippians, but we know this in chapter 2 and verse 5. He says, let this mind be in you. We are confronted to think as Christ thought. We know in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, think on these things. Now, Philippians is a book about how to have the joy of the Christian life. We are not to be depressed little animals running around going, woe is me, like the, what's that guy, Christopher Robinson's little donkey friend? Eeyore, we can't be Eeyore all the time. Well, I guess I'm just bearing my cross today. Hey, whatever situation we're in, hey, we still have Jesus and heaven is our home. We're going to be all right. But here we have, you know, we're told exactly how to have joy over depression and all of those things. And a lot of it comes down to how we think. I know it's a little contrary to what we're taught in society today, but here's the thing. Society hasn't figured out how to monetize changing how you think. But we can monetize pills and therapy, all right? But it's as simple as if we can just have a biblical mindset, we can have a biblical attitude, a winning attitude going forward. And we see this. So I want to challenge your mindset this morning. I want to challenge my mindset this morning in the book of Philippians, the mindset of a forward runner. Our theme has been this year, we're ready to move forward in a relationship with the Lord. I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to fall behind. I know that when I get done with this year, I will never get this year back. I will never get this moment back. So therefore, I want to use it. I want to redeem this time to increase my relationship with the Lord, to please my Heavenly Father. I want to win more souls on this planet, get them in White Lake, get them in the church. And by the way, it is so good seeing y'all here today. I didn't realize today was a special day. I didn't realize today was Super Bowl Sunday. I forgot that. But I got to tell you, one thing I like about Super Bowl Sunday in Oxblake Baptist Church is it tends to be one of our best attended Sunday night services. I don't know if that's your guilt or whatever it is. Like, I can't enjoy the game unless if you want to miss the first quarter, I don't know when it starts. But listen, I'll have you out of here in plenty of time. But whatever. I don't remember who won last year. So anyways, number one. Here's the mindset of a forward runner. A forward runner does not rely on their own strength. Did you get the Apostle Paul, what he said in the beginning of our text reading here? He says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, he says, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day, Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee. I was zealous. I persecuted the church. And the Apostle Paul says, man, I got it. The Apostle Paul says, hey, do you think you're great this morning? Do you think that you are a champion of Christ this morning? Do you think it is Oxblake Baptist Church's gift that you are sitting in our pews today holding one of our bulletins? If you really think that, man, God really got lucky when you decided to trust Him, the Apostle Paul says, sit down. Let me show you some things. He says, does anyone here want to compare your stats with Paul, by the way? Well, Pastor, I preach Sundays, or I teach Sunday school for this long. I've been a good giver. I've been a good tither. I was actually thinking about that a little bit. Since I've been the pastor here, I figure I've tithed for 20 years. I've given 2 complete years' salary already. And God, you've been so blessed that I have given you 2 complete full year's salary in my 20 years I've been here, not including offerings. And well, we can really think that. Well, I serve in this ministry. I do these things. And the Apostle Paul says, oh, you think you're great, huh? You understand, that's a mindset that is going to stop you from being a forward runner. He talks about his pedigree. Some people here, maybe you might be a third generation, a fourth generation Christian, a fifth generation. You might have been in this church since the very beginning. I got history here, Pastor Todd. We had our leadership retreat. I'm talking to all my deacons, my trustees, their wives, and I'm looking at them all. And all of a sudden, this thought came to my head, who's been in the church longer than anybody else? So I started looking around at them all. And I had some well-seasoned Christians in that room. Brother Ron is winking at you. No, it wasn't him. And I realized it was Lena, born in this church. First one baptized in this building, if I remember correctly. That's a great thing. Parents are here. Grandparents are here. I don't know if it goes any further than that. I really don't know. It's before my time. You may say, well, that's really special. Hey, you know what's a great thing? But it's not something to rely on. It says, of all things, the obedience to the rules. Well, sometimes in the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, like, we see holiness on how we can put more rules on ourselves. Well, I've never even drove by a movie theater in my life. I won't even drink sparkling water. We don't, and by the way, you know we do this, right? You know, well, we dress this way. I mean, look at my tie. It goes all the way down to my belt buckle. That dude is spiritual. And we start thinking those things, and Paul says, oh, you think that's great. Paul says all those things to him, which if we can establish that he's got the better stats than we do, he says all those things amount to a big steaming pile of poop. That's his words, not mine. Of course, he says dung. I just put in poop. A forward runner does not trust in past achievements, religious works, or the strength of the flesh. I have some scripture I'd like to share with you. They're going to be on the screen here. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to go to them pretty quickly here. But Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh his flesh his arm. His strength is in his flesh, in whose heart departeth from the Lord. You understand that when we kind of get the mindset of, I'm going to run forward under my own might, my own will, because I'm better than most people, it says your heart has departed from the Lord. Your heart is, you're not going to be a forward runner with a departed heart from the Lord. We need to be a man after God's own heart, but not have a departed heart from the Lord. Galatians 3:3, here's the church of Galatians, the New Testament. They get saved, right? They put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and then some leaders stand up and go, now what you need to do is you need to obey Jewish law before you can really mature in the Lord. And the Apostle Paul goes, how are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Romans 8:8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You come to church today, you say, I'm going to be the greatest servant of God in this church today by my own flesh, my own. I don't need you, Lord. Just, Lord, sit back and watch what I do. And no matter what you accomplish, God will not be pleased by that. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us what pleases God. You know what that is, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Understand, if we go in our own strength, we will never be a forward runner. Our heart will depart from the Lord. We'll have that. And I just want to challenge you, before we move on to the second point today, what are you holding on to that is your strength, your stat? What is your Hebrew of Hebrews? As being a tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day. Like, what is your version of that? You're kind of sitting there going, I'm a pretty good Christian today. I'm moving forward. We got to let go of those things. You know, there's Christians sitting in the pews here today that have literally built the building we're in. I got to be honest with you, I came right after that. I was just like, God, why did you bring me to the church right after they built it? I wish I could stand here and go, see that window? I put that in. I wish I could. I came afterwards. The Lord brought me here afterwards. And there's some of them could say that. And man, there's some longtime members here. There's some people have been here way longer than I have been here. They have outlasted 4 or 5 pastors maybe. But I'm going to outlast you all. Ha, 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 no. We're all going together in the rapture. That's my plan, okay? So, like I said, I've been a giver for this long. I've been doing these things. And sometimes we just start to look back at what we've done, and we get satisfied with it, and then we just kind of sit down. You see what happened that stops us from running forward? I already ran forward, Pastor. I did that in 1985. Let the young kids run now. For the Lord. Now I'm going to say here. Here's one of the biggest lies the devil has really been telling in our church is basically that he's done with senior citizens. I hear that so often from our seniors sometimes. Our seniors go, well, we got the young people and all these things, but there's just really not much for us to do. I gotta tell you, if you are a senior citizen in our church here today, you got hair that matches my hair. Do you realize how important you are to this pastor and to this ministry? You all just decided, like, you know what, we're not really that important anymore, and you all just pack off and head down the road and ride off in the sunset. We're done. We're going to fold up. You don't understand how important you are. Don't listen to lies the devil tells like that. Now, listen, we might not have you up shingling the roof, okay, and praise the Lord for that, but there's so much you can do. I love the wisdom of our seniors. I love sitting with them, talking with them. They've been through things. They know things. You are so faithful. You are such a blessing to the younger generation. There's a lot of younger families here, and it is difficult raising a family in 2025. We need you. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, I can tell you right now, Pastor Josh and I will be sitting out there in the lobby. A couple of our men of the church are a little older than Pastor Josh and I. They will also show up. And a lot of times, it's not, well, Pastor Josh and I go and sit down and listen to what the pastors have on their hearts. Usually we sit down and say, gentlemen, what do you think of this? What's going on with this? And we just love having that, your consistency, your faithfulness, and everything you have. Listen, we never retire from serving God. Sometimes our jobs change a little bit. But we never retire from serving God. If you really want to live, I just want to encourage you, set that all down and find something better. If you want a fresh start, stop going to, well, I used to do this. Set all that down and say, Lord, what would you have me to do now? Because if we rely back on what we've done, we're never going to run forward. Number one, a forward runner doesn't rely on their strength. Number two, a forward runner values Christ above all. You see in verse 8, it says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul says, I have a brand new purpose now. Now, Paul was a big shot in the Jewish faith. He was a Pharisee. He held power. He was a big dog. And he says, I set all that down because Paul says, I now have a new purpose. Because if we can kind of just be real with each other, sometimes our flesh, let me just raise that, none of the times does our flesh really want to lift up Christ and set ourselves down. We live in a generation of being self-promoters. I was in the car with my children, one of my sons, I knew it was going to happen someday, and he said the thing a dad never wants to hear his son say. Hey, Dad, I think when I grow up, I want to be a YouTuber. Yeah, we had to have that conversation. They said, how much can you, I don't know, son, probably some, I don't know. I said, but could you do that to the glory of God? Because we're not here to entertain people. We're here to promote Christ. But sometimes there's so much that self-promoting. And Apostle Paul says, here's what I want. Clear everything aside. Forget everything I've done, whoever I am, whatever it is. He goes, I just want to win Christ. That's the mindset of a forward runner. I will sacrifice all to know Christ, to know his power, to know his pain. And here's where the rubber meets the road, because again, we do live in a very narcissistic day, don't we? It is all about self-promotion. I mean, what is social media? Social media is basically, let me create something about myself and see how many of you I can get to look at it and click on it. Because it's all about us, and we have this time of day. We see this in our passage just a little bit further on in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18 and 19, where the Apostle Paul is kind of talking about the contrary. These are those who are not having a winning mindset. He says, for many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is what? Their belly. What does that mean? Who am I going to worship? Whatever brings me pleasure. It is about satisfying self. And when we decide to satisfy self, a wild goose chase? Again, it's driving, trying to find the end of the rainbow, and it just keeps moving. When we make happiness in place, because I can't tell you how many times we hear this, I don't care about what my children do as long as they're happy. And if you make happy their goal, you can guarantee one thing, they'll never be happy. Now, I have prayed for my children, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, and I've said, Lord, if my children get away from you, make them miserable. Give them a terrible life until they get back to you, because that is where life is, and that is where holiness is, and that's where all things are, because the end of chasing happiness is you'll find out, you ever see those websites where there's a progression of like people have gotten into meth, and they've gotten into cocaine, and you see they're kind of normal, and they're chasing that high, chasing that happiness, and just whatever it takes, and you watch their bodies slowly just die. You watch the light behind their eyes just slowly begin to dim. The Apostle Paul tells us that this is going to be an epidemic in our time. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, this know also that in the last days, I believe we're in the last days. I believe we're in the last of the last days. He says, perilous times shall come. Okay, what are people going to be like in the last days? Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We read this to the point where we don't even think this is weird anymore. You read this and you go, it's almost like in the last times the sky will be blue. And we're just like, oh, yeah. I mean, apparently it is sometimes, and not in January or February, but, you know. Let me rephrase that. In the last times, snow will be white. And we look out there and go, well, yeah, duh. But we read this, men shall be lovers of themselves, blasphemers, disobedient to your parents. You know, it's not normal to be disobedient to your parents. We're like a good group of young people here today. Filling up that pew, too. Praise the Lord. I love you guys. Thank you for being here today. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser. Those are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's what the end time's going to look like. I'm just saying that we live in a day where God comes maybe second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh, but listen, do not dissuade, we are number one. That's a day that we live in today. We all think about, what do I want? And of course, God loves me, so he wants what I want. No, it does not work that way. God is God, and what he wants is right, and is higher, and is better, and is always right. And what we want really doesn't matter as much as what he wants. My children, every day, they say what they want for dinner. I don't care. They have to eat vegetables, okay? You cannot live off of junk food all the time. Where are we? Here's where the rubber meets the road, and it's the day that we live in, and you know this. You know there are people in your life that will hang out with you as long as they kind of feel like they can get some joy from your presence, right? But you know there's also people that, man, when you go in the hospital and you really need somebody, or all of a sudden you need to move, or you have work to do, they're like, where did they go? Right? Disappear, poof, gone. Like, hey, where's my, yeah, you wanted to hang out with me when we were doing this thing, but now I need somebody in my life. And people are, poof. Life got hard, they're gone. And we realize that people like that are just using us. You know, sometimes people will blow into the church, they have a need, that's fine, we're a hospital for sinners, but all of a sudden things gets hard in the church, poof. Oh, were you ever here to begin with? Do you understand this? And the Apostle Paul, I mean, if you really read this, you go back to our text and look what he says in verse 10. Now, we talked about, you got all with me, right? Yeah, we got to forget that. We got to forget rid of all those strengths of our flesh. We got to let go of all those things. We're like, yeah, that's right. Okay, that's very good. That I may know him. Yeah, I want to know Jesus, Pastor Todd, and the power of his resurrection. Woo, power! Yeah, that sounds great. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Whoa, hold on a second right there. I don't really want to know anybody's sufferings, do you? Being made conformable unto his death. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We did not sign on. Brother Todd, what are you talking about there? The fellowship of his sufferings. So let me just make this. I'm going to make this. Y'all kind of looking at me like deer, like doe-eyed, like in the headlights. So let me just. I went off page somewhere. So let me just see if I can say one sentence and see if I can get us back on track, okay? Let me get down here. It makes me more personable. When you really love someone, you don't just love them and want to know the good. You want to step into the not so good also. When you really love somebody, you do want to talk about maybe the hard things of the past that you may, why? Because you want to know them more. Because you want to enter into that suffering with them. You want to say, you're not alone. I know that I wasn't there, but I am here for you now. I'm not going to leave your side. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But if I just say, you know, Bear, you're Brick. You're a lot of fun, but you're kind of a downer in this area, you know. Well, then I'm just really just using him for the most part. But a real friend is going to stay with you through thick and thin, good and bad. Not even that when I can get something out of your life, and when you know, we forget this so often when we make vows and we say in good times and in bad, because we never think of the bad, but the bad does come. And so Paul says, I so much want to be with Jesus. I want to win him so much. I want to know the excellency of him. I want to know the fellowship of the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his even his sufferings, conformable unto his death. I want to know it. Are you willing to love Jesus like that? Because he loves you like that. Do you realize that when Jesus, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, he didn't just come down here and love the good parts of us. Because there wasn't mostly good parts of us. We were sinners in rebellion, at war spiritually against the Almighty God. And so what did he do? He came and entered into our suffering, took our worst, our sin debt, and took it to the cross and paid for it for us. You see, a forward runner is not going to rely on their strength. A forward runner is going to value Christ above all. Can I just wrap this up by saying anything that you and I value above Christ is an idol in our life, and it has to go away. Because we'll never be the forward runner we need to be when we're still self-promoting us first, him second. What a good day to preach this on Super Bowl Sunday. Praise the Lord. All the wives, I can just feel all the nudging going on right now. Lastly, a forward runner rejects stagnation. A forward runner rejects stagnation. Look at verse 12 with me of our text in Philippians 3. He says, not though I've already attained, even were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before. He says, basically, I'm not looking back. I'm not happy where I'm at. I am running forward. This is Apostle Paul's version of our theme. He is running forward. Paul says, I have not yet arrived. Now, the Apostle Paul would tell us in his ministry, he's been tortured, abused, dragged out of the city, left for dead. He's been shipwrecked. He spent time out in the ocean. And at a certain point, if the Apostle Paul wanted to say, you know what, I think I've done enough for the cause of Christ. I think I'm going to just retire. I think we would all go, Paul, you deserved it. It's time for Timothy to step it up a little bit, right? That's kind of what we would think. But he says, after all of these things, I do not say I have arrived. I don't know the wording that we would give, that I've done it. I'm Johnny Christian. I'm Jenny Christian. Sorry to use your name. I'm there, and everybody else look at me, and I'm going to be Jesus. He says he's pressing because he knows there's more and better ahead of him. If we want to be a forward runner, stop letting the past drag us down. If we're going to be a forward runner, stop letting our strength be our flesh. We got to look at Christ above all. And he says that he's going to press on. You know, the problem is, and you want to know some truth here, the day a relationship begins to die is a day you stop pressing forward in that relationship. You know what happens? A lot of people get married, and what do you do? I mean, I'll be honest with you, because I'm a guy. I want to conquer. I mean, that's really what I want, you know? I was little. I was down that little hallway down there. I was in the teen room. I saw a little Jenny Prokof. I thought, she's pretty. And I was going to conquer her heart. I was going to storm the castle of her heart. I was going to win her. I was going to flirt with my greatest flirting. All of those of you with little girls in the church, you're safe. My sons have my level of flirting, okay? It's not good. I've watched them. It's not good. You see, you landed Jenny, though, didn't you? God saves his best for his servants. I don't have to tell you. I would bring snacks. I wrote, this is so embarrassing to tell you, but I'll tell you. I wrote poetry. I know, I'm such a dork. It's like 25 years ago, though. Roses are red. I mean, I did it all. And then we stood here, I did it, I won one day. Like, there was a referee, it was Pastor DeVerne. He stood here and he goes, you know, you're done, you're married, kiss her and ride off in the sunset. And I did, and here's the problem, the temptation is, I'm done, I won. I'm gonna stop writing poetry. I did stop doing that. It's okay though, right? You can't stop going out on dates. You can't stop flirting. You can't stop winning the heart every single day. You can't stop that because I've arrived and I don't need to anymore. The relationship dies. And that goes for any relationship we have. The time that we think we're there, now I can just chill. I won now. Man, don't ever stop that. Here's our relationship with the Lord. Well, I'm saved now. I'm done. He's lucky to have me. Oh, my goodness, the Apostle Paul says, no, you got to press forward, keep moving. We understand that, pressing forward, but we always press forward for the wrong things. Was it Rockefeller that had all of his money? He has so much money, and then they said, well, how much more money do you need? Goodness gracious. You ever stop and think about that? I did the math, too, just so I could have this illustration. I figured, how much money do I need to be done? And I finally figured it out. I could live off, Jenny, we could live off of the interest of $2.5 million. So if anyone here wants to give me $2.5 million, I won't draw a paycheck anymore. I'd still need insurance, though, Brother Don. I'd be like, my kid, dental and vision, okay? I still want those things, but I mean, I can just live off the interest now. That would be pretty good. I'm a pretty content guy. I don't need a lot, okay? I was thinking about that, but some people, we have this mindset, right? So here's this Rockefeller, millions, and he says, how much more do you need? You can relax and retire and enjoy it, and man, sit on a hammock on the beach, and he says, a little more. Just a little. And we understand that. We press forward for the wrong. I can just get a little more. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. And he that loveth abundance with increase. He says, man, when we love things and we just think, I'll be happy when I get here. And there is a trap in our human life that we think of happiness lies right over the next hill. If I can get this job, make this money, have this car, have this house, have this spouse, have this life, I'll be happy. Listen, if you're not happy here, you won't be happy there. If you can't find your happiness and satisfaction in Christ here, you're not going to find it over there. But we have that sometimes. What do we do? I mean, you can imagine, even as an athlete, right? No matter what sport, you never will find these athletes saying, I think I can run the 40 yards fast enough. No, I want to figure out how to do it faster. How can a major league pitcher, you know what, I think I throw the ball fast enough. No, you don't. there's always someone who can throw faster. We understand that. We want that. We need that. And here's the winning mindset. And the Apostle Paul will bring us right back in Hebrews, right where we need to be, where, again, I've said this over and over again in this series. Here's the key, looking on to Jesus. What are you talking about? What does that mean, looking on to Jesus? Because here's the thing, okay? Y'all make fun of me. I go to a gym that costs $10 a month, and there's stuff written up all over the wall that says, judgment-free zone, you're good enough, hooray, hooray, you know? And so I go to this gym in the morning. It's mostly retired people, I would say, you know? And I've watched people fall asleep on machines. Some of them come in their pajamas with a coffee to work out. So here I am on the treadmill. Here I am lifting. I'm looking around at them, and all of a sudden I'm going, I'm in pretty good shape. Well, Josh, I'm doing pretty good. Enough to beat you in pickleball yesterday. I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I did. I just want to put it out there. I mean, he is 30, so he's, you know. And maybe we could do that, because there's always somebody we can kind of go, but what happens if all of a sudden Mr. Olympica, was that what it's called, Mr. Olympica, whatever? I don't know. The bodybuilding champion of the universe walks into my gym, which he might someday, you never know, and all of a sudden I see them running on treadmill, them lifting weights, and all of a sudden I can go, I have not arrived. When I was having children, my first time, I was so excited. I was having twins. I just thought that was the coolest thing. And I had a really good pastor friend. He had 5 children, all daughters. His wife kept the trap of, maybe the next one will be a boy. And it was a girl. And maybe the next one will be a girl. And I told myself, I'm going to have 2, and I bet you there will be both boys. Spoiler alert, they were. It was awesome. I was so proud. I went to delivery room, Huron Valley. I'm in the Harris Birthing Center. I wore a shirt that says, real men have twins. I did. Every other dad in the waiting room, I was like. I thought I was the king of that place. Oh, you're having a kid? That's cute. I'm having 2, baby. Woo, you know. And all of a sudden, this guy comes out with triplets. I've never worn that shirt since. I still have it. We won't get rid of it. I've never had it. What I'm trying to say is, here's the thing. We start looking at other people, we start feeling pretty good about ourselves. Because we can always find somebody that we're better than. Well, I read my Bible more than that person. That person comes to church on Wednesday night. I come Sunday morning. I teach Sunday school. I help out in the food pantry. We can always, and if we just do this, we'll get stagnant. Because we can place ourselves, I'm comfortable here, but if we stop looking at each other and we get our eyes on Christ, wow, if that's the author and the finisher of our faith, if that's my finish line, I'm looking to Jesus Christ, whoa, Nelly, I need to keep moving forward. I need to press forward. I need to sprint forward. There's no time to relax. I have to get to where my Savior is if I can keep looking to Him. Where's your mind this morning? Do you have a winning mindset? Are you satisfied or are you pressing? Are you working on pressing towards the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you basically collecting hills of dung this morning? How do we do this? I'm going to end here very quickly. We're at one verse, verse 13. How do we press towards the mark? Look at verse 13. Number 1, realize you aren't there yet. I count not myself to have apprehended. Say to yourself, self, we have not arrived yet. In your own head, go ahead. Self, I have not. In your head, very good. I'm not there yet. Okay, make peace with it. Okay, I'm not there yet. I am not God's gift to Christianity. I don't know enough. I'm not there yet. Number 2, forget those things which are behind. He says, this thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Here's our running metaphor. Here's one thing you're doing in a race. Never turn around and look backwards. Never do that. You're never going to look back and see how far of a gap you have put between them. Never turn around. When I was a racer, when I was a runner, and I was trying to attack somebody, I was trying to pass them, I knew one thing. If I caught them turn around and look at me, I knew I had them. I knew they were worried about me. Don't worry about looking back and seeing how far back, you know, the other Christians are or where you're at. Or don't look back, well, I've come this far. That's great, okay? But stop looking back there and start looking here, because you're going to get tempted to slow down when you start doing those things. You're tempted to that. But then there's number 3, reach forward. He says, reaching forth those things which are before him. You know, I found there's a couple little tricks. Now, if you need to carve out a little more speed in your physical sprint, okay, it sounds weird. There's a couple things you can do. Number 1. your legs will lock into the rhythm of your arms. And you run, you kind of do this. Sometimes you feel like legs can't go any faster. Pump your arms faster, your legs will move faster. It's weird. I don't know why that works. It does work. You can try it in the parking lot today on the way out to your car. But if you wanted a little bit more speed, here's what you do. You're running. All of a sudden, start leaning forward when you run. You run, you're kind of a little out of balance. And so to catch up with your balance, your feet got to go before it. And you want to lean. Well, I'm going to fall. Hey, it's okay. You guess what? You fall the way you lean, okay? So if you want to lean forward, lean into it, okay? Go ahead and put yourself a little off balance for the Lord, okay? What does that mean? What does that look like? I feel like the Lord would have me to do this, but I'm scared. I can't do it. I don't know. I'm afraid to stick myself out that far. Good. Lean into it. Let the Lord prop you up. Remember our song, learning to lean, right? Learn to lean. Lean into it. So here, everyone, realize you haven't got there yet. Forget the things which are behind and lean forward and keep your eyes on Christ. The prize and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It's the reward and fulfillment of our life found only in Jesus. There is no life like the life by faith in Jesus Christ. There is no reward. I said you can chase happiness, you can chase pleasure, and here's you're going to end up spending everything you have within you, and you find yourself more empty. The only life that we have that really gives that fulfillment is by serving the Lord and running fully with Him going forward. There's no life like it. I would encourage you, if you are here today, and if you don't know for sure if you are saved today, you're born again, you don't know if you've trusted Christ as your Savior today, I would so much encourage you, if you want to have a good life, the best life I believe on this planet is by faith in Jesus Christ. We have to first realize we're not there yet. We realize we've sinned against the Almighty God, and the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says that we can just put our simple faith and belief in Him. We believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day to save us. So this is what really was so cool that happens is the Bible says it's called double imputation. He takes your sin. Therefore, you are debt-free before God Almighty. And then He gives you His righteousness, His position of perfect standing with the Lord. That's when we read in the scripture, it says, if anybody be thus minded, if anybody be perfect, it's not meaning you've never sinned in your life. It just means you're complete. You have it all. Got rid of the sin. He had the right standing of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only righteousness that we're going to have, and that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about in our passage of Scripture. And I'm just talking about this life, because someday we are going to leave this planet. No one gets out of here alive, okay? We're going to stand before the sovereign judge of the universe, and He is a righteous judge, and His judgment stands. And there is no swaying the jurors of your peers. It is God and God alone, and He will judge right. And He's going to judge solely based on is your faith in Jesus Christ or in something else? Because if we stand before Him with our sin debt still yet in rebellion against God, we will spend eternity separated from Him. But if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we know that we're going to be welcomed into heaven as a home. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You want to have that relationship in the future? Start that relationship now. Now, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I have the greatest news to tell you. Because many years ago, I walked in this church in the exact same condition that you're in today. I was Christian friendly, but not saved. So I wandered in here, heard a message, and I accepted Christ. I heard an invitation just like that. You can be saved today if you don't know if you're saved, okay? In just a moment, we'll have a hymn of invitation. I would encourage you. Pastor Josh will be right here. He can show you from the Word of God. You can leave here saved today. This is not church mumbo jumbo. This is God's perfect Word for us. But for the Christians that are still here today, and you're still listening to me, here's the thing. You want to have a winning mindset. A winning mindset says do something. The dung says do nothing. I encourage you, I don't know if the Lord's placed upon your heart today, but whatever it is, do something. Have that winning mindset. Set the things down. Don't rely on the strength anymore. Put Christ first and crucify whatever you're putting above Christ and just reject the stagnation and truly dedicate that this is the time I'm going to run forward in my relationship with the Lord. Will you stand with me and bow your heads, close your eyes, nobody looking around, and we'll have our instrumentalists come to play just for a moment of invitation. Father, Lord, I just pray today.